Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a heat check edition of The Good, The Bad, and The Hunky, powered by the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. I'm your host, Tyler Fornes, who's with me, as always, is Fred. I can't believe that you haven't given us a donation on Red Circle yet. Moreland, how are you, sir?
Doing well. Yeah, just kind of a quiet week. I'm still playing catch-up with AEW. I'm all caught up on Dynamite. I just need to watch a couple of collisions. But other than that, I'm just great. So.
See, I was going to read your actual quote, but I think only I would be like one of the two people to find that funny. So I wanted to tie in our donation link, which is on our Red Circle page. You just search Red Circle, The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy. You'll find it right there. It's also in the show notes. If you ever had the inclination of giving us money because we're great, or you want one of us to shut up, you have the ability to do so. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But we are going to start the show talking about money in a different context, Fred, because it was finally reported that the NBA will sign new deals with ESPN, Amazon Prime, and Roundball Rock themselves, NBC, to have the NBA package starting with the 2025-2026 seasons, and that leaves Warner Brothers Discovery out. Now, Warner Brothers Discovery does have the ability to match, and David Zaslav has commented, like, I won't comment on hypothetical deals. Once a deal is signed, then we'll have comment, is the central paraphrasing there. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting because Warner Brothers Discovery was offering $2.1 billion for the package. The NBA wanted $2.3 billion. $200 million isn't exactly a lot of money when you're having these types of conversations. It would be like you wanting $25 for your copy of Super Mario Brothers 3 for the Nintendo, and I wanted to give you $22. That's not exactly a lot of money. And $200 million in this context is not a ton of money either. So I'm very intrigued to see what ends up happening, because I believe Warner Brothers Discovery has the ability to match just by signing, kind of like how in the NFL, if you sign a restricted free agent, the other team has a right to match within a certain time frame. But the whole reason we're talking about the NBA is because this impacts AEW. How does this impact AEW? Well, if they don't have $2.1 billion that they were going to send to the NBA, they're going to spend it elsewhere. And I think that could be really beneficial for AEW for a couple of reasons. One, we know how important live sports are. Two, we also know that when you talk about what airs on the Turner networks, AEW is one of their best properties because of what they provide on the nights and time slots that they have. Now, you can look at the collision numbers. Oh my gosh, they barely do 500,000 viewers. Who else does 500,000 viewers Saturday night at 7 p.m.? Nobody. They, outside of other live sports properties, are number one. Same with Rampage. Rampage doesn't do very many viewers, but they have a 10 p.m. Eastern time slot. Nobody does great viewers on a Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Rampage does. And you have to correlate the time slot that they have with the numbers that they're doing. And they are a winning property for Warner Brothers Discovery. Same with Dynamite. Dynamite only loses to the occasional episode of Vanderpump Rules or The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and live sports. That's it. Or if something absolutely insane happens, like if there's a presidential debate on a Wednesday, they're going to get creamed. They're going to absolutely get creamed because that it, and with AEW, that's how it's always been. If there's a big cultural event happening, people leave AEW for the cultural event. And a presidential debate is about as cultural of an event as it gets. So I think it's really interesting, the conversation surrounding this property, Fred. And I want to kind of give this to you before I go on a real big soliloquy. Do you think that them losing the NBA is good or bad for AEW?
I don't know. It's really going to affect it, frankly. I think it would give them more money to play with if they're feeling particularly desperate, but I don't think it'll really swing the amount that they're getting paid either way, to be honest. I'm just kind of like, they'll get what they are going to, and, you know, everyone will shake hands and move on, essentially. I think it's, I think there's some people that don't understand the situation that are proclaiming, oh, the NBA is leaving, so Turner is obviously never going to spend any money on anything ever again. And that just kind of ignores that they have, the NHL hockey playoffs. So they just started last, they just signed on with the NHL last year, made a huge deal out of, and are still pushing hard. They just made a deal in this past week to basically sublet a couple playoff, college football playoff games each season for the next couple years, I do believe. So, yeah, they'll be obviously Turner is still interested in spending money, and I see no reason to expect them to not pay AEW what it seems like they're going to get paid, which is a healthy figure that will make them profitable, guaranteed year over year. I just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't add up, and the alternative views that it's going to be somehow a disaster for AEW. Views tend to come from people that just kind of think or try to find a way for everything to be a disaster for AEW. I think it's going to be all right for them.
Yeah, I think it's going to end up being all right. And it wouldn't shock me if they got a deal similar to what SmackDown got in, 2018, 2019, when they ended up agreeing to that deal with Fox, where it's $200 million a year. But the difference between SmackDown and what AEW would be is you take a look at what WWE is giving Fox. They were just giving Fox 2 hours of programming a week. AEW would be giving them 5 hours of programming a week plus the potential of the streaming option. And I think $200 million for all the streaming content, the backlog of an AEW library, which, look, second that AEW library goes up, you better believe that we're going to be doing some kind of Dynamite rewatches or some bullshit, just because there's going to be some really interesting stuff to kind of go back on and look from a historical perspective. But there's going to be like a lot of stuff that Warner Brothers gets versus WWE just giving them 2 hours of SmackDown. And I think it's important because WWE is a much bigger and stronger brand than AEW. For a multitude of reasons. One, they're worth more. Two, they've been around a lot longer. And three, they have a lot of historical precedent. Now, AEW has 5 good years with Warner Brothers Discovery, and I think that's really important. And I'm really intrigued to kind of see how this contract ends up going. Do pay-per-views still exist after this? Is there going to be enough money from Warner Brothers Discovery where they completely scrap pay-per-view? Those elements are so intriguing to me.
Yeah, it'll definitely be something to keep an eye on. I think they'll be all right. I think it's considering where they rank on a nightly basis whenever they have a show, even in bad time slots, it's usually in the top 10. You would definitely expect them to get paid well. So
yeah, I'm really intrigued to kind of see what that looks like. I would project 5 years, $1 billion. That's kind of my guess. I think they're going to get the exact monetary deal of what Fox gave WWE just for SmackDown, but they get everything. We'll find out how that looks. We'll find out how that continues to grow and develop. But I thought that was really important to at least mention right away, because it is a really important element to this whole conversation about the future of AEW. Now let's talk about the next piece of the future of AEW, and that is Double or Nothing, the 5-year anniversary, Fred, of All Elite Wrestling. Now, remember, the first one had Chris Jericho defeating Kenny Omega in the main event, and Jon Moxley comes out and beats the crap out of both of them, mainly Kenny Omega, including a paradigm shift on top of those poker chips. Look, this is a historic promotion, a historic landmark for the promotion, because the pandemic could have killed them. They're still here. They're stronger than ever. They have consistent television ratings, whether we believe they're good or bad. They are consistent, and they continue to be at the top of the cable rankings. And I think that is really, really, really important, considering that fewer people are just watching television now than they were 20 years ago. YouTube exists. Streaming exists. So all that matters. And it's going to be really, really good to watch the 5th anniversary of Double or Nothing. And I'm hoping it's my wife's birthday weekend. I hope I get to watch live. We'll find out.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes sacrifices must be made. I mean, I expect the show itself will be good, but I've been pretty down on the build to it. At least all the Dynamites have been able to watch. Like, they haven't been bad or anything, but I don't know that there's really a great storyline that is gripping me. And, like, obviously, you know, you have matches like Roderick Strong and Will Ospreay on paper, just to call one out at random. You're expecting a great match at the end of the day. But I just, nothing storyline-wise has really grabbed my attention. And I think there's an argument that maybe this is the weakest build creatively for an AEW pay-per-view in quite a while, at least since... I'd say the double debut Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole show. It'd have to be before that. So this just feels kind of like a show, which is disappointing for an anniversary show. You know, we will see from here. A couple of notes on it. Jim Ross will not be at Double or Nothing. He had to go to the emergency room Thursday morning due to shortness of breath. Apparently, Meltzer has reported that he has the flu, as well as elevated heart enzymes and some breathing issues. He's expected to be doing well in a couple days. So hoping the best for him. And Kenny Omega, to go spin off on the health tangent, had surgery to treat his diverticulitis. That was reported yesterday, Thursday, by Fightful. Apparently it went well, and so he is on the road to recovery. It'd be a little bit for him, I would expect, you know, a couple months probably. Mm-hmm. His return would be great, I think. But it's going to be a matter of time and getting ready and all that. I have to assume that no colostomy bag or anything along the lines will be necessary. I think those are the biggest biggest news, I think, for biggest news heading into AEW. One other thing I'm going to mention, very tangentially related to this point, but Brandi Rhodes also had surgery recently for, I think it was stage 4 endometriosis, which is the worst, very invasive version of the disease, according to the classification system I read up on. So hoping her the best with that.
I don't even know what endometriosis is, but it sounds bad, and I hope she is on the road to recovery quickly and efficiently.
Yes. So basically, that's when the cells that tend to grow in the endometrium, which is, you know, that's the lining of the uterus, essentially. It grows outside of the uterus, which can be very painful. It can actually lead to infertility. That's a pretty serious condition, and she basically had the worst version of it. So, again, hoping the best.
Same. Fred, people are here for one reason and one reason only. More college football talk. I'm kidding. They're here
Jimbo
for the
Fisher's championship flag.
Listen, you know what? I love making fun of Jimbo Fisher, but the dude does have a national title. So,
not at Texas A&M.
Nobody's going to have one at Texas A&M, which is funny because like you should be able to recruit your ass off at Texas A&M. But, I mean, Jimbo did, and he still stunk.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So, let's do the heat check. We have the pay-per-view coming up on Sunday. It is, of course, as we've talked about, coming from the Las Vegas suburb of Paradise, Nevada, at the MGM Grand Garden, which is where the 2019 event was held. I should check AEW, or not AEW Ticks, but Wrestle Ticks, and see how sales are doing. But yeah, it's an interesting card on paper. Like I said, I really was not enthralled at all this past Dynamite, and I can't really say that much was like really, really bad or anything, but it was just kind of present and kind of disappointing in that sense. But that doesn't mean that the show won't be good. I expect the match quality to be very high. You know, we've got a hell of a card on paper. Hopefully that all delivers. Mm-hmm. Let's see, latest update from WrestleTix, my vamp, which is from 2 weeks ago, public facing. They had distributed 6,000 tickets with a setup of just over 7,000. So they're, you know, doing pretty well at that point in time. Not a particularly huge setup, but I don't know. Just looking at the building map, doesn't look like there's a whole lot of room left to expand into. So I'm going to take a quick check just to see what the last year's attendance was. Okay, last year's attendance was 10,550 in the T-Mobile Arena. So yeah, I think this is a step down from last year, but they're still moving tickets respectably well. And I don't know. We'll see if they can really step up. In 2019 they had 11,000, so they probably will have some room to expand if they get interest, but I guess we'll see on that. All right, so let's go through this card, Tyler, because I know you are a busy man and you've got limited time. So once again, as usual, we're doing our bullshit 1 to 10, 10 being the most excited, 1 being not excited at all. Feel free to break the scale as usual, unless you're I was going to dunk on our friend of the show, you know, tongue-tied Warren Hayes. Just like Warren Hayes didn't know we could. God, I'm really good at this. All right, going through the Wikipedia list, starting at the top. Match number 1 is for the AEW International Championship. The challenger, Will Ospreay, against the champion, Roderick Strong. Tyler, where are you at, 1 to 10?
It's a weird one because initially it's like, why in the world is Will Ospreay challenging for the national title? And then they hooked you with the story. And I was really, really impressed with all the work that Ospreay and Strong did to really build up this match and make you care about it. This is going to be a 10 for me. I want to see Roderick Strong try to absolutely break Will Ospreay's back. I want to see Ospreay just try to hidden blade the living shit out of Roderick Strong. This is going to be really good. And Roderick Strong kind of felt like that guy who nobody really gave mainstream attention to, but the hardcore is always like, this is one of the best wrestlers in the world. And now he gets to go against, in my opinion, the greatest wrestler of all time, Will Ospreay, and show that he can have that 5-star match. Because I think one of my biggest criticisms of Roderick Strong has been he's incredibly consistent, but he never peaks super high. It's always 4.25, maybe 4.5. He can never break that mold. It's almost like there's that glass ceiling. Can he shatter the glass ceiling with a guy like Will Ospreay? I don't know, and I want to find out. I really want to find out, because these two could tear the absolute house down. And I'm also very intrigued to see where this is on the card. I would consider opening the show with this, because just let them, hey, you have 25 minutes, go. Just do cool shit. And set the tone for this pay-per-view, because we know Anarchy in the Arena is going to kill it at the end. And you've got a really nice lineup of matches on this show. This could be that tone setter. I still don't know if Ospreay should win. I think the Undisputed Era should probably screw him and cheat to help Strong win, because I don't know if you want to have Ospreay win your a secondary title, because I really think that he should be winning the world title at Wembley. Hell, I think you can make the argument he should have won the world title like at this pay-per-view, and they should have just pivoted because of how massive of a star he's been. But I don't think AEW is really a company to kind of tear up their plans to make that kind of pivot. Will they eventually? Sure, probably. But I'm really excited, Fred. What about you?
I'm very excited for this match. I haven't been super into the storyline leading up to it. It's fine. It's not bad. It's just fine. But yeah, this could be a 5-star match just because Ospreay's that damn good, and Roderick Strong, I think, is capable of doing that. We haven't seen a whole lot of that level from him in quite a while, but I am optimistic, and so I'm really excited to see how well they do. And this is, I think, definitely one of the biggest highlights on the card.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a huge highlight. I'm really excited.
Keep things moving. We have a challenge for the AEW Women's World Championship from Serena Deeb against Timeless Toni Storm, who will be defending, or attempting to at least, in that match. Tyler, where are you at?
5. Like, if this was just Toni Storm against Serena Deeb, I think it'd be significantly higher. Man, the Timeless Toni gimmick, I get it. It's a parody of WWE, essentially. And man, I just think it could be better. This whole Toni getting Mariah May into her bosom, and then Mariah May just placing her head right on Toni Storm's boob is just so weird. I get it. It's kind of like a motherly thing, but for using it with two adult women on national television, it just feels off to me. Like, they could be doing so much better, and they're just not. And I think that's what's really disappointing.
Yeah, they've really gone for some kind of like just weirder stuff recently, rather than just doing like a parody gimmick with Toni, which is kind of odd. So I guess we'll see how this keeps going. I'm not particularly hyped for this one either. I feel like it's been a weird build. With this kind of shift with what Toni Storm's doing, despite the highlights that we've had with her. I do think she's cut some good lines of promos and stuff. And, you know, I really was taken aback last week by how good she was in the ring. And, well, it was not a great match, but a pretty damn strong performance from her. So I guess we'll see. But, yeah, I'm at a 5 on this. I think it can deliver pretty well. Frankly, but it just feels cold, so I'm not super into it. Speaking of stuff I'm not super into, Malakai Black versus Adam Copeland for the TNT Championship in a barbed wire steel cage match, which could conceivably go, like, I don't know, 4th from the start. It's a really weird gimmick, I think. There are a couple angles on this Dynamite that I just was not into, and the bloodbath thing did not do much for me at all. I don't know. I think I'm at like a 5 on this one as well. Basically just like Deeb and Storm. Like, I think the match will probably be pretty good, but the build for it has not been much for me.
I don't care about the build. I don't care about the blood. I don't care about Malakai Black being obsessed with Adam Copeland's wedding ring. These two guys are going to put on a fucking show in that barbed wire steel cage. I'm at a 9. I can't wait for this, because whatever the build is and whatever, like, that place is for Adam Copeland, like, when he was Edge, he went to that place and it was just comedy. It was gross. It was awful. Here, that place is much more controlled. It is much more focused. And it feels real. Like, when he challenged Malakai Black to that barbed wire steel cage match, you felt him going to that place, but it didn't feel like a parody. It felt like him. It felt real. And I think him going to that place is fine because of how he's going there. And I'm really excited for this match. I think that they're going to deliver in a massive way, Fred. I can't wait. Like, it's a barbed wire steel cage. You're going to beat the shit out of each other. You're going to bleed buckets. It's going to rule.
We'll see. Adam Copeland hasn't exactly been taking wild spots, you know, since he came back. And frankly, he shouldn't be. So maybe there'll be some sick Malakai Black bumps or something like that. But I'm just not like, I just don't see it. I just don't see like this going to be some super extreme match or anything. I think it'll, you know, have some blood and stuff, but it won't be wild, you know.
Man, I couldn't disagree with you more here. I think Copeland's been really smart about the bumps he's taking, but to say he hasn't taken wild bumps, I think is incorrect. I think he has worked incredibly hard to make this art really good, and you could tell how much passion is still behind it. I think he's going to do everything that he can to make this great, and I think there's going to be a couple pretty crazy bumps. Whether they do anything off the actual top of the cage, I doubt that. But I think they're going to do some wild stuff in here. And Copeland really cares. He cares about this. He cares about the art. He cares about what people think of the art, not in an egotistical way, but he wants to provide something really good for the fans. Because remember, he lost like 10 years of his career because of the neck. I think this has a real chance to be great. And Malakai Black, for all his flaws, for him not wanting to lose and all the grief that people give him because he's not like never on television, when he's on, that dude is really good. And I think this kind of environment is something where I think he'll thrive in. So I think we'll probably just have to agree to disagree. I think that they're going to put everything they have, and this could steal the show.
We'll see. I mean, I think it'll be good. Don't get me wrong, but you know, it's kind of a mediocre build for me, and I don't see it getting much higher than like 4.25, I guess. That's what I would go with. But hey, we'll see. Nothing wrong with a 4.25 match. Let's be clear. All right. Our next match is a eliminator match. We can't just make it a title match. For the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, Konosuke Takeshita and Jon Moxley. Tyler, where are you with this one?
8.5. The only reason why this isn't a title match is I bet Gato didn't want to give a title match to a DDT guy. So my biggest issue is you have eliminators, you have non-titles, and you have title matches, and there doesn't seem to be any cohesiveness behind any of it. Like, why is Nick Wayne getting a non-title match? Why isn't it an eliminator? All non-title matches should be considered eliminator matches. Why? Because if they win, that's the easiest way to get a title shot. Oh, I pinned the champion. I deserve a shot at the title. You should never have a non-title match if you have eliminator matches. That's how it should always be. And to have that, to me, that was really frustrating. It was very annoying. But overall, dude, this match could absolutely rule. Like, Takeshita is an incredible striker. Moxley is too. And Moxley's probably going to bleed buckets. This show is probably going to be coated in blood. And I can't wait. Like, this could end up being really good. And the clash of styles, where Takeshita, kind of like Kenny Omega, where he's a very explosive wrestler, both in his striking and his moveset. Moxley's a brawler, and I think that those two types of styles could have a really, really good and fun match, and I really want to see it.
What's going on, guys? This is Rich, co-host of the Flagship Podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network. We'll get right back to your show. Just want a brief moment to tell you about a sponsor that we have here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network, Arena Club. Now, Arena Club, man, they're great for card collectors. If you're a card collector out there, this is the read for you. And in this hobby, you know, I know you know, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up. We think, oh man, here's the 86 Michael Jordan Fleer rookie card. It's going to be in this pack. It never is. It's never in that pack. And usually you have zero transparency on available cards and hit rates. It's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each and every one. And when I buy Slab Packs from Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And I've talked about before, I go to card shows, I grab random packs, I have fun opening them, but I know there's nothing good ever in there. There never is. There's never going to... Why? That's why they're available to buy, because there's nothing good in there. That's not the case anymore with Arena Club Slab Packs. They're better than those mystery packs because they have a display of available cards. They have a display of the hit rates. They have a display of the grading. You know exactly what you're getting. It's transparent. And Arena Club, more than that, they're an awesome place for collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying. If you're a card collector, you get it all at Arena Club. Now, Arena Club Slab Packs are revolutionizing the repack game, like we said, with full transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed into your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. And the Arena Club grading process is great. It's fast, it's accurate, it's transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. You're not putting this thing in an envelope, send it out to the mail, and then get back a number. Oh, it's a 6.2. Why? Whatever. Too bad. We just said it was 6.2. No, you get all of the rationale, all the explanation of how your card is scored and how it is graded. And man, Arena Club, whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. But there's even better news here, because right now you can get 10% off your first purchase at Arena Club by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Make sure you use that link to get the 10% off your first purchase. Again, arenaclub.com/VOWnet. That is a crazy offer. That is 10% off of your first purchase of anything. If it's a $400 slab pack, you're getting $40 off immediately just by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase. arenaclub.com/VOWnet, 10% off your first purchase. And we appreciate them for sponsoring the Voice Wrestling Podcast Network. Now, back to your show.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this one. I also am kind of rolling my eyes at it not being an actual title match. I mean, I get why it probably would be with the Ghetto, you know, the politics of it all, and, you know, Ghetto not wanting to give that to that guy, and I get it, you know, but at the same time, it's not silly. But yeah, I think this will be a really good match, and the build's been pretty all right. It hasn't been great, but it's been better than the last couple matches, I think, and should be fun.
I don't give a shit if there's a build. You have Takeshita and Moxley. You don't need a fucking build. Just go in there, beat each other up, man. Like,
I'd like a build, you know, a good build.
I wish AEW did less builds. Just be like, hey, I hate your guts. I want your title. Fuck you. There you go. There's your build. Good enough for me. But some matches you need a build, and we're going to talk about a couple of those here later on, but you don't need a build for everything. That's good enough.
All right, fair enough. I'm just saying that what they're doing on screen on Dynamite, I'd like it to be better, and it kind of is affecting my interest level for the Double or Nothing day for you. So.
Fair.
All right, our next one is supposed to be a straight singles match. They made a big deal of that on TV between Trent Beretta and Orange Cassidy. Of course, Trent has freshly turned heel on OC. You know, I'm kind of looking forward to this. I'm going to go with 7, I guess. Could be a good match. I think Trent has been an underrated talent for a bit, and Yeah, I'd like to see what happens here. How about you?
I'm also at a 7. I think Trent Barrett is winning this, and I think the whole reason he's asking for a straight wrestling match is because he's going to cheat. He's going to cheat to win this match, and they're going to extend that feud.
Yes, they are.
Which
will be good. I like that.
Me too. Like, let heels be assholes, man. Like, I think this could be really good. I'm expecting a shit finish. I'm really excited for this.
Yeah, it should be fun. Let's see. Next up, I'm just keeping this brisk, which is okay. All right, in the throwaway match for the FTW rules for the World Championship, as Chris Jericho would insist on it being called, Hook gets the Yoshi Shibata, and of course, the defending champ Chris Jericho. Tyler, where are you with this one?
0. Fuck this. Next. I don't like. Look, Chris Jericho is an incredible draw on television. Having Hook and Shibata both win a three-way match at the same time.
Yeah, that was another thing I really hated on.
That's such 2013 TNA. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Hook has lost it for me. He doesn't come off authentic anymore.
He's kind of exposed, I think.
Yeah, and you know what? That's going to happen every now and then. And we've talked about this with NXT wrestlers too, where, dude, you're putting them on national television after 10 matches. And I thought they did a great job early on of not having Hook exposed and working through things and letting him do stuff on national TV without actually being exposed. Well, that's gone. Shabbat is going to eat a fucking pin here, and it's going to suck. This Jericho learning tree, I think, could be really good. Get Hook away from this. Like, you're hurting Hook actively, and Jericho's not being helped either. I just think it sucks. I think the learning tree gimmick could be really, really fun. It could be really good, but it's not working with Hook. It just isn't. I don't care what the TV ratings say. Jericho's a draw. He's always going to be a draw until he turns into 2023 Keiji Muto. But no, I just think it's just not working. You need to pivot.
Yeah, I have not liked this build, really. Now, at the same time, I've enjoyed the Chris Jericho character work. I think he's sincere. Babyface works pretty well. I just think Hook doesn't come across like a badass. And frankly, I would have preferred just a straight Shibata Jericho feud rather than having Hook involved. The FTW championship, the problem with it I have is that it's kind of bringing in like just this very generic garbage style match, like, oh, we got to do kendo stick shots and here's a trash can and we'll put it over your head and bonk the can. And like, AEW needs to do better at avoiding, you know, some of these WWE style tropes, I feel like. And I think that this is definitely one of them. And I think they've gone way too hard playing with it, using it. So very frustrating. Wish it wasn't the case. Hope, you know, we steer out of this into something a little better. But at the same time, I don't know if Chris Jericho is really able to have like great just straight up matches anymore, just because the age is showing. It has caught up with him fairly rapidly in the past year, I think, and it's just very frustrating in general. So I'm at like a 1 on this. This is the weakest match on the card, I'm not really excited about it. So meh. Next match is a trios match for the unified AEW World Trios Championship, with the challengers Death Triangle, Triangulo De La Muerte, I think it is, or is it Del Muerte? De La Muerte, thank you. Against the Bang Bang Gang, Jay White, and the Guns. It feels very much like the heels are going to retain here. But how excited are you for this, Tyler?
6.
That's about where I am, too, I think.
Man, I don't know. It kind of sucks that they're not Bullet Club Gold anymore. They're just the Bang Bang Gang. 2. Like, you've had Jay White for a fucking year, and this is what you're doing with him?
Yeah.
You've had Jay White for a fucking year. Like, look, just make the trios titles fun. They don't even have to be good titles. Just, like, I'll still remember when D-Von and Bully Ray split up and D-Von became like the television champion in TNA. Guess what he did every single week? He defended that title every week like an honorable babyface. Just have these as fuck around TV titles and have cool as shit matches every week. Every week you have 5 hours of television. Dedicate 15 to 20 minutes every single week to a cool ass trios match. That's it.
Yeah,
that's what these titles should be.
Or at least have like the guns working regularly with guys that are better than them, which will hopefully improve them. Just do something, you know, knock this middle of the road shit off. Because it is amazingly frustrating. I don't know. I think the match will be pretty good. I mean, Death Triangle rules. Jay White is a very good wrestler usually, except for when he goes into his worst instincts. The guns are present. I mean, the guns have really developed their heel persona. They're enjoyable, you know, in that kind of spot. But, you know, they aren't good wrestlers, I don't think. And
they exist. Yeah. They're Jags. Just another guy.
Yeah. I'll go with like a 6 here. I mean, I think the match will be good. I'll enjoy it, but it will just kind of, you know, I'm not heated for the story, which is a very common theme on this pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, we have for the TBS Championship, we have Mercedes Moné challenging Willow Nightingale, who is the champion. And Tyler, I got to say, this is put up or shut up time for Mercedes. I think this is arguably the most important match on the card in terms of what moves forward. And it's interesting that way, but I'm also like a little worried about what it's going to be because Mercedes hasn't exactly been knocking out of the park. And at least in terms of her promo work since she came into the company or her character work, whichever term you prefer. So, I don't know. What's your take?
I want to see Willow Nightingale beat the piss out of her. I think that's what's going to end up happening. I think Willow's going to win. And I want to give all the credit here to Rich and Joe on the flagship. And they kind of talked about how they're intentionally having Mercedes do all this stuff because they're going to turn her heel. And that's, I've kind of thought that for a long time. And in their process of previewing the show and kind of talking about the state of AEW, I thought they hit the nail on the head where like you had to bring her in as babyface, but the fan base just is not connecting like the way you wanted it to. And I think they're going to turn her heel. I think Willow's going to win. And then Moné is going to throw a hissy fit and turn. Like, Willow's a star. She deserves to be a star. She has earned everything that she's gotten in this company. Now, she didn't necessarily earn being the first strong women's champion.
Yeah.
But boy, did she take that ball and run with it. She did a great job with an opportunity that was presented to her out of nowhere because of that broken ankle. And she became an organic star. This is what AEW has really grown to be, where they take wrestlers that have this sky high potential, but just haven't come close to reaching it because they haven't really been given the platform. They kind of get them comfortable and then they let them run with it. And I think Willow is just the latest example of that. Hangman Adam Page obviously was with the Bullet Club in the Elite. And he got set up for superstardom. Well, I mean, whenever he's actually on the fucking show, I'm guessing he's taking time off again because I think he had another kid, which if that ends up being true and I'm not manifesting this in my mind, congratulations. But they've done a really good job with a lot of these guys. Ricky Starks, Swerve Strickland. like your world champion is in a similar boat to what Willow Nightingale was, with the only really differentiating factor was that Swerve spent a cup of coffee with WWE. Willow didn't. Like Willow is arguably like a top three success story of AEW. I want her to win.
It's a revelation.
I want her to hit the doctor bomb on Mercedes. I want Mercedes to throw a fucking hissy fit. And I want Mercedes to cheap shot Willow during the celebration, beat her up, turn heel. And then we get a long, long-term story with her and Willow where eventually Money gets that title. But I don't think she has to get it now. I don't think it's the right time to take it off Willow. And you've built this story and you can make the argument, oh, she hasn't had a wrestling match in over a year, which is canonically true.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, Willow beat her. She hasn't wrestled in a year. That's her out. That's how she gets her heat back. Plus the heel turn. That's how I think they should do it. That's how I hope they do it. And Willow deserves a win like this. That's going to cement her in a lot of people's eyes. Because she hasn't really had the opportunity to do a lot of big, big, big stuff within the walls of AEW. This is a big, big, big moment. Crown her ass, please.
Yeah. I agree with you. I actually do think in general the vibes are that Willow should win. I have no faith that's what will happen. I think it's just a case of Mercedes being on too big of a deal and being too big of a name. It just seems like it's going to be a Mercedes win, and it's hard to argue that that's the wrong call. I will repeat my proposal that Chris and Stoke cost Willow the win. And start a feud there, spinning it off so Mercedes can do her own thing. Otherwise, I'm just not really... This is going to be a big one for Mercedes. We'll see how she does. 100% on her step up, have a good performance, and to show like why she's being treated like the big star.
Mm-hmm. Pressure.
All right, I think that's enough of that one. So we go on to our two biggest matches. I'm going to give the one that's listed on Wiki as the main event, but we all know isn't really the main event. For the AEW World Championship, we have Christian Cage challenging Swerve Strickland. Just a straight match. I'm sure there will be some blood and some shenanigans as well. How do you feel about this one, Tyler?
I just want to say I was right. When Christian was revealed as the next challenger, I put it over right away. And I said, you know what? It's a little bit of an odd choice, but I think this is a great opponent. There was history. And with what you have going on in the company right now, like this is what's going to plague AEW until the Elite retire. Anytime the Elite is in a big storyline and it's not involving the world title, they are the main event. They are the top storyline because this company was built on the backs of those guys. So that's not going to change. And when you have that, the world champion's kind of fucked. It sucks. Like the world champion shouldn't be put in that position, but that's just going to be the nature of this company. It's going to be the nature of everything that we talk about over the course of, I'm going to say the next 15-ish years, because when you have a company that's built on the backs of essentially five people, but Cody Rhodes isn't here anymore. Kenny Omega, Hangman and Page, and the Young Bucks. This is their company. We can talk about Tony Khan being the booker, being the owner, all that stuff. No, this is the Elite's company. Anything they do is going to supersede everything else. And that's just the nature of it. And Swerve is getting fucked here. He just is. And it's not fair to his title reign. It's not fair to him. It's just not fair. But that is what happens when you have a company that is built on the backs of four individual wrestlers that are still in the company. Anything they do is going to supersede it. With that being said, I'm at a 9. I thought that Christian Cage was a great choice here because Cage was going to work really, really hard. Everything he's done in this company has been fucking gold. And there's backstory here. Remember Swerve Strickland going up to the Pacific Northwest and beating the living shit out of Nick Wayne? Well, guess what? They built the entire story around it. And now the Mogul Embassy is done. And you have Swerve on his own. And you have him going against the Patriarchy. You had him facing against Brian Cage, against Nick Wayne. And Christian is going to do everything, everything to make Swerve look like $1 million. And Swerve is probably going to bleed buckets. This match has a potential to be really, really good. And I think there's too many people here who are underrating Christian Cage as one of the best wrestlers of the past 25 years, because what he's done in this run, it just shows you how much he was underutilized for so much of his career. TNA capitalized on it right away, and that first Christian run in TNA was great. It was awesome. And then you have what he's done with AEW. It's just been tremendous. Absolutely tremendous.
Yeah.
He's going to put Swerve over hard.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think this will be a very good match. Swerve, I think, is connecting pretty well with the fans. He is suffering from the fact that this is happening. I do feel like it is undercutting him by having this first pay-per-view really be built around the Anarchy of the Arena rather than his singles championship. That's just, I think, just an unhappy coincidence with the calendar and everything. I definitely don't think it's an intentional thing by anyone. But I feel like that's what's happening, frankly. And it's really unfortunate. But here we are. Fingers crossed that he, will continue to feature and continue to get over. I do think he gets good reactions right now. We'll see how this goes. I think the match itself will be fine. I'm very interested because it's presumed that I would presume that Swerve wins here and ends the storyline. I feel like the storyline's been fine. Not great. Not bad. Just fine. So we'll see how this goes. But yeah, I'm at an 8. I think it'll be a pretty damn good match.
I just feel so bad for Swerve. He's getting fucked. And it has nothing to do with anything he's doing. He just is not a member of the Elite. And that sucks for your world champion to be kind of cucked like that. It sucks.
What I really see is the problem is just that... I think if they had put, not done the MJF year of, Reign of Terror and had put the belt on Swerve more directly, rapidly last year, maybe a year ago, he would have had time for a nice introductory title reign. And then when Will Ospreay came in, you could have got the title on him. Ospreay, frankly, feels like the hot guy in the company, the most talented guy in the company, and that's not Swerve's fault. Swerve's very good, but he's just not Will Ospreay, and that's just because Ospreay is super talented. And I think it's important to get Ospreay that title run sooner rather than later. So it feels like this Swerve title run's already kind of been kind of had its legs taken out on him before it got started. And it's unfortunate for him, but here we are. So, sucks. But I'm at an 8 for this. It should be, like I said, a very fun match. And wherever it gets put on the card, which won't be the main event, it should be a lot of fun. Which takes us to our actual main event, we suppose. I feel pretty sick for sharing it, though. Anarchy in the Arena. So we have the Elite, which, of course, is Okada, the Young Bucks, and Jack Perry against Team AEW of Darby Allin, FTR, and Bryan Danielson. Tyler, what is your excitement level for this match?
10. Anarchy in the Arena delivers. It delivered massively in the first year. Eddie Kingston bringing out a gas can so he could literally burn Chris Jericho alive. last year, just the blood and the brutality with the Elite and the Blackpool Combat Club, tremendous. This year, look, I don't like that Tony Khan is driving Darby Allin with a flamethrower to the arena. Like, you could just have Darby get out of a car with the flamethrower. You don't have to have Tony Khan there. You just don't. But it is also incredibly plausible that Darby Allin owns a flamethrower and would be psychotic enough to use it in a match. That is incredibly plausible for Darby. He's nuts. Yes. So I didn't think that part was absurd. I just thought Tony Khan driving him was the dumb part. Look, this has a chance to be incredible. This has a chance with these individuals to be absolutely phenomenal. And I'm really, really excited to see what this can become. I'm really excited to see how this will evolve. Like, you get to see Okada in a hardcore match, man. How many times has Okada been in a hardcore match in his entire career? Is this the first one?
Probably.
There's a chance this is the first time that he's ever been in a match with no disqualification possibility.
Yeah, I think it's might be the case. I can't really think of one readily, at least. So, I think this will be. I mean, I'm really excited for it. I think I'm at a 9.5, I'll say, which is nitpicky, but here I am. You know, I guess that's what I'm doing here on this dumb show. I think it'll be a really, you know, fun match. I do think that, now, was it, there was a bad anarchy in the arena, wasn't there? Or just not a great one?
No, there's only been two. Because Double or Nothing's always been the, like, there was the first one. That didn't have, like, a heavy doing match.
Stadium in the Stampede.
There were two Stadium Stampedes. Both were good. The first one was incredible. But I think we were also a little jaded by the fact that Pandemic Wrestling was brand new. I thought they did a masterful job of it. And yes. Then the second one was, like, half-taped, and then they spilled into the arena. I thought that was really good.
I did not. Yeah. The 2021 one, I did not like at all.
Well, actually, I gave it like 4.25, 4.5. Like, to me, that's still really good.
I gave it 1.75. So
God, you're such a coward.
Coward. Yeah,
like, I think Anarchy in the Arena is just better because they're just beating the living piss out of each other. Like,
yeah. So yeah. Anarchy in the Arena has not had a stinker yet.
I don't think they're going to have a stinker here.
Well, they shouldn't. Hopefully they don't get too gimmicky with it, but I'm optimistic that that won't be the case. But yeah, I think it'll be a really fun time, and it'll deserve to main event. Look, we can talk about how Swerve's in a tough spot, you know, but frankly, you know, if, I guess a cynical way to respond would be to say, get more over, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not fair. It's not great, but yeah. But that's the card. It should be a fun match, a fun show, I should say. The matches should all be really good. I have not been in love with the booking this cycle, like I've said a few times now. Hopefully that doesn't carry over here to the actual pay-per-view. We'll see. But I feel like that's the only way that this show could really be dragged out is if we just get a very a set of bad decisions.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what ends up happening here. I think this pay-per-view could be really, really good. I think it could be middle. I don't think it can be bad. The only way it could be bad is if you have like injuries to Ospreay and Okada that are like year-long injuries. That, to me, that's about it. I'm excited to watch this show. The only person seeming to be talking about the fact that it's the fifth anniversary is Tony Khan, which I find
no one else is talking about, which is interesting. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. But it'll be pretty pretty cool, pretty fun, pretty good. lots of stuff to see. And we'll do a wrap up show next week to talk about it. I think that's about it for this week, though. Tyler, you got anything else?
No, not really. Just this.
You gotta go watch the Timberwolves tonight.
Yeah, I will be live. I found essentially tickets for the same amount. For Sticker.
Yeah,
which. Upper Decks were going for as much as $500 earlier in the week. I got them for pretty much Sticker plus fees. So I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited for the game itself. This Wolves team is fun, man. The basketball being good in this town rules, and I can't wait.
I'm very excited for this this game in general. Both teams are really fun to watch, and and the NBA is in a really weird spot, honestly, with basketball, with the teams, because I feel like we're in a really unprecedented period of kind of parity. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. With that being said, thank you guys very much for listening. We will be back next week to talk about a lot of different things surrounding these Minnesota Vikings. That being said, that's Fred. I'm Tyler.
Go Minnesota Dr. Vikings or the Timberwolves. Who are we talking about?
Everything.
Who are we talking about, Tyler?
Everything. Go adopt a French bulldog from a rescue.
Take care.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.